This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we'll be discussing LGBTQ Revisited.
Yes, this seems to be a topic that we come back to often.
Often, yes.
Yeah.
It's a big part of our kids' worlds. Our worlds.
I was saying that I think it's now almost every third new parent consult that I'm doing, sexuality and gender is somewhere in the discussion. It's weird how it's flared up so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly in younger adolescents, but it's still in older. But I mean, between 13 to 15, it's really high.
Mm-hmm. Well, we even received an email this week from a listener who has a 14-year-old daughter who doesn't want a label but is questioning her sexual identity. And in light of that, they're considering putting her in a Christian school instead of the public charter school that she's in, wanting the influence at school to more align with their family values versus what public school agenda seems to be. And she had just listened to our episode 97 about individuation. And so she says, in response to her need for individuation, are we making a mistake by trying to control her environment versus trusting her to navigate high school? And this girl has said that she would rather stay at public school with her friends instead of moving to this private school. So Dr. Ken, how would you answer this question?
I like the way she asked that question. It's a very reasonable thing to consider is, you know, are we making a mistake to try to control that? And I would only change that to, it's more the question of what's more effective. Is it effective to take a 14-year-old out of the school that she wants to be in and put her, say, into a Christian school where we all pretend there's no one struggling with LGBTQ issues there, which there are some, but probably not as higher percentages in private school, I mean, a public school. But I think the question I would ask is what's more effective in really kind of dealing with that. So before we do that, let me just remind everybody, if they haven't listened to the two episodes we did on LGBTQ, because the quiz here is, she said her daughter is questioning her sexuality, which means she's questioning whether she is gay or bisexual or straight. That's what sexuality refers to, like what, who you're attracted to sexually. The other issue that is thrown in that box, which is weird, but it is actually thrown in the same box, is gender identity. And that is the questioning of do I feel like the gender of my body? And, you know, I may be a boy physically, but I'm a girl. You know, I feel like a girl inside, which, by the way, I guess everyone's talking about Leah Thomas at University of Penn, the swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a gender question. He's now come out as transgender. Leah was not his original name. And so those are not the same issue, but they get thrown into the same issue because I think there's general motivations are the same. Are your kids talking about that?
Oh yes.
And what are they saying? Yeah.
Yes. So my kids, we talked about this last week because they were all home for spring break. And one of the things that kept coming up was, it's just so unfair. Men have different bodies than women. And for this guy who was born a male, has not transitioned, went through puberty, his body has an unfair advantage. It's like someone being allowed to take steroids or drugs and then compete And only one person gets to do that and the others don't get to do that. It's unfair advantage. And it's not necessarily right. for my kids even, you know, as much a sexuality issue as it is just an unfair advantage issue that these women have worked so hard to be the top in their field and they're denied those privileges of their hard work.
I think what's important about that is also for this mom and other moms to kind of be aware of or reminded what's really behind this kind of quote questioning and so forth. And I've said this many times before, questioning or, you know, homosexuality used to be an older person that tells me that I've always felt this attraction. And so what am I supposed to do with that? That is not the case anymore. You can't be 14 and say the reason is because ever since I was a teenager, I started. Yeah, you've been a teenager for like 10 minutes. What are you talking about? It is now an identity thing. And basically you have in that Leah Thomas story, a clash of two, what you might consider left-wing identity or philosophies, ideology. Remember the LGBTQ ideology, it's not moved on by science. This is being moved by ideology. Science couldn't possibly discover that there's more than two genders. There's no new microscope that found that it's an ideology. And as you remember, the years of research on trying to find the physiological difference between homosexual males, most of the research have done, and straight males. Are their brains smaller? Is there something? It came up zilch. There wasn't a marker biologically. So the point is, this is an ideology. And the ideology is you can make yourself to fit what you feel inside. And that's what's going on with Leah Thomas. And there's a lot of people that are, you know, following logically the ideology that you're being discriminatory if you don't let this male born by male who really knows he is female be himself. Well, the funny thing is that doesn't bump into just sort of conservative Christian ideology. It bumps into radical feminist ideology, which, among others, like, you know, because radical feminist feminism.
Just feminism.
Yeah,
just
exactly. It's women, been fighting a big fight for 100 years or more that women deserve the same rights as men. And, you know, you have, again, you know, the younger feminists sort of don't want to get into this fray because you're punished if you're on the wrong side. But famously, feminists like J.K. Rowling, Germaine Greer is another one that's an older. She's such a fiery speaker. She's great. They'll tell you, I don't give a rip about this. You know, you should allow these men are not women. And just because you feel like you're a woman doesn't make you a woman. You don't know our experience. Well, whether you agree with that or not, it's at least a rational discussion. And man, Martina Navratilova was canceled, you know, for a while. Just these are, you can't even hear reasonable discussion like that, because those are two at least consistent ideologies, and it's not going well. So the important thing when we get back to this mother's question is it more effective, for example, to take a teenager out of what you think is a, you know, this bad influence to hopefully a good influence school? You need to first realize that, especially if someone's quote questioning, then that's less likely to be because they have this strong, long-standing attraction to same sex or whatever. It's actually more dealing with accepting the ideology that your subjective experience is as valid or even more valid than your biology and your physiology. And that's a brand new experimental view, if you will. Like nobody, that's just the decision that no, how you feel inside is just as important, maybe more important than your physiology. And that's probably what this girl is dealing with more. Is that, you know, what do I do with this chronic desire to be sexual with women? It's not really the way girls think anyway. It's more, I've had these thoughts, whatever her feelings are, what does that say about who I am? And that identity thing is really, that's the whole point. I feel like we do this all the time, but is it clear? I try to find fewer words every time I say this.
Well, for sure. And I think too, that every teenager begins to question themselves, question what they're feeling. They have new feelings of, sexual desire that appear, and they're wondering what is this all about? Do I feel like a woman, or do I feel like I'm very tomboyish? I mean, I remember questioning those things as a teenager, like I feel tomboyish. I don't feel feminine, you know? And so that's a really normal thing, but in today's culture, it gets confused with your sexuality and not just your individual personality and being, outdoorsy or being sports oriented or whatever, and
that's
sometimes
because no one told you that inner experience is super important and may be this inner oracle that is telling you the true you. That's the part you didn't have before. Mm-hmm. We used to call this kind of experience transsexual. And there was some of that. And certainly homosexuality has been around for thousands of years. But what's new is you wouldn't have thought when you felt less girly and you would call yourself a tomboy, it never would have occurred to you that, wait, that might be a magic moment for you, mm-hmm. that your inner experience will tell you mm-hmm. who you are. That's the new mm-hmm. part.
Mm-hmm. And I think that social media kind of magnifies that and kind of gives voice to those thoughts in our teenagers' heads, because a teenage girl will be watching TikToks or Instagram reels of girls their age, maybe a little bit older. And, they're doing these cute little dances and they've got a body that they're watching the girl on Instagram or whatever with a body that they would like to have. And they're like, oh, wow, she's so pretty. And then, so I feel like, their thoughts and their feelings are kind of getting mixed up and they're kind of confused. Right. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense.
Because what they're really doing is idolizing the people that they're seeing, but in their heads, they're like, am I attracted to that? Do I like girls? Am I a lesbian? And so I think that plus lack of communication with their parents really just, makes all kinds of confusion and your teens having these thoughts in their heads and they can't talk to you about it. And for you to, in order to help them walk through that.
See, I think that's exactly right. Like a fair percentage of young teenage boys that are looking at gay pornography are drawn there more to compare bodies. Like mm-hmm. I wish I had that, and less about I'm visualizing all these sex acts. So that's one example. Here's the other part about social media. You're also talking, especially when it comes to sexual attraction, teenagers that have less and less intimate relationships with each other. And I think that it does create a confusion that, for example, if this girl has a very close girlfriend and she really, I just want to be around her. We're very tight. We're very intimate. That means she's your best friend. That means that, you can hold her hand and do braid each other's hair. But if you're not experienced with that, you you live in this find your own identity culture, then I think a lot of times desire, especially in girls, desire for intimacy is confused with, I guess this is a sexual thing. No, it's not. I've said it over and over again. My best friend, Jeff, love Jeff. I've loved Jeff for 50 years. He got me through crazy girls that just didn't like me when they should have. And he knew to say, well, she's ridiculous. All that stuff. That's not a sexual thing. And possibly if that was the world I was living in, then I might be questioning that. And I think that's often what happens with especially young teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I would want to encourage our listeners, if you haven't already, or just go back. And if you're struggling with communicating with your teenagers, to go back and listen to all the episodes that we've done over communication. And it's a constant learning process on how to not lecture them and communicate with teens.
Yes.
But it is worth it, and it'll change your relationship and it'll open doors for you and your teenager in your relationship that maybe have never been opened before.
Exactly.
Yeah. They don't need you to preach.
That's where it all starts.
That's right. And when you're scared, that's when you really are tempted to preach. It's not mm-hmm. effective. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how right you are, how they need to hear this, they won't hear it. Always remember the interview I did with my own kids and my sweet middle girl. And I quote her, Daddy, I remembered that you made speeches. I don't remember anything you said. So as fearful as you are, just like Ashley said, it's critical to first know what's more effective is to, and in the book, it's under the section of advice giving, that you own this. Mm-hmm. Can I just tell you why this is upsetting to me? And it is me. And you may think this is ridiculous. That signals that I'm not preaching to you as a grown-up and you're a kid. Teenagers hate that. And it's also implying that if you don't agree with me, I understand that you don't have to accept what I'm saying. Teenagers also like that. And then what you say after that is listened to, there's a better chance of being listened to. I think what needs to go after that, this is my position, this is my opinion, needs to be about identity, not about sexuality. And frankly, the identity issue is harder to make when it comes to homosexuality. I think homosexuality has been in the culture for a long time. It's here to stay. Mm-hmm. But the transgender is much different. Even as a psychologist, the risk of, is this a better way to treat young people, even children that have gender dysphoria? The brand new discovery here, we're going to try to do this by changing their whole body's path, make their puberty an enemy. We're going to do plastic surgery. Just from a science perspective, that's a hugely risky intervention, as opposed to maybe we should help them to change their inner feeling so it goes along with their body. Whether it's, you know, obviously from a spiritual perspective, which, by the way, Christian, conservative or Orthodox Christians, it's against the scripture. Orthodox Jews, same thing. Even Orthodox Muslims, that doesn't fit any of those big three religions. The point is, regardless of the faith viewpoint, just from a scientific viewpoint, we're in a huge risk that is this actually what is better? And what scares me is that people aren't even discussing it. They are demanding it. And if you don't believe that it's best for me to alter my child's body, you are horrible. And that's not a good debate to have. I think I've mentioned this before. If you haven't yet, look up what's happening in England, which has a shared healthcare system. There are lawsuits of transgender adults who are suing the healthcare because you told me that I need to change, to transition, and it has ruined my life. You'll have to dig, because that's not really put up. I read a lot of New York Times, never shows up on New York Times, but it is definitely out there. It's just a huge risk regardless. So the thing you talk about, though, is my concern for you is where you get your identity. And that's the part I think they never really think about.
Right. Because I think we focus more on who our teen is physically attracted to and who they want to do sexual acts with versus what their identity is placed in. And if we don't get the identity right, nothing else matters.
That's right.
You know, because even as, you know, Christian adults, if my identity is something other than God, I'm setting myself up for failure, you know?
And it's tricky to talk about that, to try to mention that, you know, even if you're sort of trying this out, if you come out, this will begin to kind of forge a path for you that will be harder and harder for you to move out of. It's tough to go to your high school reunion as the kid that was remembered as the gay kid and introduce your spouse that's an opposite sex. It's just tougher. But again, you got to be careful. That's not a good point to lecture. It is why you are unhappy about it. And for the Christian parents listening, that's a critical part of it, is that this only shows, I think, that we have not done well at really talking about what do we believe about marriage and its place. Yes. We tend to put it in the position of you're a naughty person if you have sex outside of marriage. You're a good person if you don't. That's ridiculously oversimplified. Mm-hmm. We believe that, you know, you are, your identity, if you will, is assigned by God. And when we try to add our own identity, make ourselves into something, that's called evil. It's sin. And we actually try to lose ourselves in another person. This guy, Jesus, is kind of who we are trying to, and the Spirit is helping us to become like him. Well, what about my own chosen identity? Yeah, we don't believe in that.
Right. I think as a parent, it's easy to look at ways you can control the situation in your kids' lives. You know, I think about this mom that we just got the email from and say, okay, I'm going to put them in a different school and I'm going to surround them with people that have more similar views to us, that sort of thing. But the fact of the matter is it is the most powerful thing we can do as parents is to pray for our kids' spiritual lives, that God would intervene and intersect with them in a way that's powerful and would change them from the inside out. Because every issue that our kids have is spiritual.
That's
Everything that they struggle with is spiritual. And so if we act like that's not a big deal, or that we can change the their surroundings and suddenly change them, it's very short-lived.
That is so true. And that's how we discover our own faith in raising children, because it's very easy to have, I've had the feeling of, fine, Jessica, we should pray, but this is too important to just get on my knees. We've got to do something real. No, wow, I thought I believed, but I don't. I've got these real areas of unbelief. So you're exactly right. There is never any reason to panic, because we, again, the Christians in the group, we do believe the Holy Spirit's a real thing. And that our God is working things toward good. So why concern? Sure. But why are we panicking? I think that's a really good point. As far as this mom, by the way, just to be specific, I would answer that question about should I move her to a different school if she objects. Probably it's a balance. If you can, if it would help you and you really think it's better, I would try to talk your daughter into it. Like, here's, can we go over and look at the school? And if you, but I would also point out, if she hates it and just would feel nothing but controlled in doing it, it's probably not going to be very effective. And so it's not even a right or wrong thing. It's more if the kid is, you know, moderately objectionable, but yeah, it is a pretty cool school, then sure, you might do that. Again, in school decisions for teenagers, it's usually best to think about a committee of three. There's a mom and a dad, and the teenager gets a seat. But we listen to each other's view, and the teenager might be overruled. By the way, no such thing as a teenager and one parent overruling the other parent. That's a bad marriage. But the issue being that I think if she can get her daughter to be moderately interested in it, sure. But I would be careful. I've definitely, I think we've all known the kid who was forced into this school and made it really bomb, failed. Found the three other transgender or, you know, homosexual kids in the school, and we hung together, and you're like, this didn't work at all.
That just cost me thousands of dollars.
And backfired,
It costs a lot of money to be educated by Jesus. I'm telling you, that's expensive stuff.
Well, and like we discussed in episode 97, which you referred to, I mean, a lot of times what ends up happening is your kid, when they feel controlled, it's going to backfire. They're going to try even farther to prove to you that you do not have control in this area. Right. And so if your kid is accommodating and excited and thinking this might be a good option to go to this private school, that's one thing. But if your kid is pushing back, you're going to have trouble on your hands when that kid finds a way to show you that you're not in control.
That's exactly right. And you do not want the argument of I can choose my own sexuality or gender to be used as part of the general individuation need, which is, do you not recognize that I am an adult and need to be making my own decisions? That if that's planted, and I've told you this, I've seen teenagers that were just super obedient, kind of passive sort of children. And then they're adolescents. And the first thing they show objection to is their sexuality or gender. And that's a really tough combination, because if they plant their flag in that, you don't have control over that. And they will win that if that's what they're using as their decision to, I will show you that I am myself. You have to start by saying, look, if that's who you remain as being, if that's how you continue to see yourself, I know I cannot make you change that. That is paradoxically your best chance at maybe having influence for them to actually change that.
Keeping the lines of communication open.
That's correct. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I'm so grateful for this mom and her email. Her email was well written, and you could tell that she had a lot of thought put into it and that she cares so much. And guys, we love hearing from you. And, you know, we give you the hard truths. We give you the whole truths. We give you encouragement. I hope you find all of that stuff here, because we want you to have a good relationship with your teen.
That's right.
Because you're going to walk through hard things, right? Like, parenthood is not easy. No. Like, you are going to, you know, face some difficult situations. And we just want y'all to get through it together, you know, and well.
That's exactly
So we appreciate your emails and all your hard questions. And I hope that, you appreciate our honest, hard, thoughtful answers.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right.
For sure. You know, my 17-year-old was sitting next to me when I received that email, and we receive emails like this weekly, you know, very similar emails. And I said, hey, read this. What would you do? This is to my 17-year-old daughter. And she looked at me, she said, I'm not having kids. That's it. I'm not having kids. And I think, you know, it's just her recognition of parenting is really hard. And there's a lot of decisions. There's a lot of decisions you're making.
Yeah.
In order to, and it was just that she understands both sides. She sees it with her friends saying that they're LGBTQ, you know, and then she knows that there are parents on the other side, wanting something different for their kids. So it's tough. It's a tough road to walk. Parenting is hard, but thank you guys very much for discussing these really difficult, topics. I know that a lot of podcasts won't address things like this because they don't want the flack. And I appreciate that we're honest and that we're trying to seek God's will in all of it. So thank you guys.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.